We're going to go to a time of prayer this morning and want to invite you to assume a posture that is appropriate for you today as we pray. You can stay seated. You can come here and kneel at the stairs or at the altar railing, or turn around and kneel at your chair. Or you can just stay right where you're at. But we want to take some time to pray today. Just seek God this morning above all else. He's a good God that loves us. So let's seek his face as we pray together today. Father, while we have worshiped, we have exalted your name. We have sought your face. And you continue to be a faithful God that loves us more than we can imagine, that has things in our lives that are better than we can ask or imagine. But Lord, we do arrive this morning with sometimes a certain amount of heaviness. I think for most of us, our hearts are heavy for Ethan Thompson. And we're thankful, Lord, that that there is recovery going on for Ethan after his seizure that he experienced last evening. Lord, you are the great physician that has and will continue to be a working blessing upon Ethan's life. Lord, will you care for him and minister for him as he recovers? May the next couple of days be days that are seizure-free as much as possible. May you be with Lee and Carrie and their kids and Carrie's mom that lives with them. Lord, will you just wrap your arms around them and provide them with comfort and peace? Will you provide them with some laughter when appropriate? But Lord, will you also just remind them that you are an ever-present help in trouble? Your word tells us that that's who you are. And I pray, Lord, that they would experience that and know that today, that you are a refuge, that you are hope. God, will you surround them with your righteous right hand and arms of love and care for them? Lord, they're also grieving in the passing of Carrie's dad. And you know the heaviness of that. And we pray, Lord, that you would also walk with them in that valley as well. Lord, we also lift up to you Kathy Montgomery and the surgery that she had on Friday, and we're thankful that there's recovery that is happening in her body from having her gallbladder removed. Lord, will you just help her to recover? Help the pain that she's experiencing to lessen and lessen day by day. And Father, will you help her to regain her strength? God, you are good. You saw her through that surgery, and God, we're very thankful for that. Thank you for the ways in which you work, God. You are an amazing Lord that loves us, that wants what's best for us. Even when we don't see it, you do, and we can trust you because you are a true shepherd that loves us and knows us. And your word is good, and we thank you for that. Father, there are times in our lives when we don't know what to do with decisions that we have in front of us. And so, God, we just offer to you the things that are going on in the lives of the people of Living Hope Wesleyan, and ask, Father, that you would oversee the concerns that are there. Lord, I I know that there are things that are going on, but sometimes we just don't know how to speak about them. Sometimes we don't know everything that is going on. But there are decisions that need to be made. There are decisions that are made, and we have to deal with the outcomes of those decisions. But we seek your face in the midst of them. Each one of us does. And we ask, Father, that you would make a way for your glory to be known and your grace to be extended. That it's not just about what we want, but it's about what you desire for us. We seek your will. We seek your face. And so, God, will you work in our lives? Remind us of your hope and your grace. Remind us of your peace. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, that humbled himself in such a way that he would leave heaven, come down to earth, live among us as fully God and fully man, blameless and perfect. And when the time was right, would surrender himself to a cross to die for our sins that we could do nothing about. You make us holy and righteous by your son's righteousness. And we thank you for that, God. And we worship you because you are worthy. You are worthy. And we pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name above every name, and at his name we all knees will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord. And we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here this morning. It is with excitement that we do just rejoice that Ethan Thompson is doing better. He's recovering at home, and God is so very good in everything that has happened with the Thompson family. But I'm grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for being a part of Living Hope Wesleyan and just being present today on not just an exciting day, but a day that is all about worship and seeking God. Right? Amen. Amen. We have things that are called these are a QR code. That's kind of a connection card. If you would check this out, that would be greatly appreciated. Use your phone, scan it. And this is a way for you to get to share with us that you're not only here, but if there's something that you would like to be prayed over, you can include it in that area of the QR code. That would be greatly appreciated. And you can be assured that you will be prayed over. Have a few announcements for you. I just almost sounded like I was from Kentucky today. For you, we got some announcements for you. Sorry that. I apologize. It's been awesome. We have the thing that's called the Chili Cook-Off that is coming up next Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. And if you have not signed up to participate and bring your chili and it's not showing it off. It is displaying the beauty and the gloriousness of your chili concoction. You need to do so today so that you can participate. So there's a number of them that have already signed up, and I just encourage you, sign up so that you can win the golden ladle and have some, bragging rights among the church, I guess. I don't know how that works, but it works. And then we're also going to have a pie auction and a pie silent auction. And this is just a fun event that we can do and help support our teenagers and the many different things that they get to participate in. And we hope that you will be present there next Sunday at between 5 and 7. If anything, come for the chili and vote for me. But I know, shameless plug. But seriously, just come and enjoy and have fun and be present and enjoy fellowship with one another. We have a couple of things that that we just want to remind you about. The first thing that we want to remind you about is that earlier this week, I sent out an email to some of our leaders in the church, specifically about Leaders Night Out that is taking place tomorrow evening. And if you have not RSVP'd to me, please do so today so that I'm aware, because we feed you and I need to know how much food to bring and have ready for you. So if you haven't done that, do so today. That starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. I know you're going to be so full from the Super Bowl and whatever activities you have today that you're probably not going to be hungry, but we'll feed you anyways and make sure that you have plenty to eat. Also, parents, especially of our teenagers and younger children, there is it's a small card that is on the welcome shelf as you exit the church today that says Summer at a Glance. And so you need to take that home with you. Just take one, because on the backside is a number of things that we want you to put on your calendar so that you are aware of the many happenings that are bigger items throughout the summer. Okay, things like camp, a youth summer mission trip, vacation Bible school, and things of that nature. So take one of those home with you so that you are aware, because those things are already on the calendar, and information will be coming out for some of those events in the near future. But if you don't know about them now, you'll fill your calendar with a whole lot of other stuff, and we don't want you to miss out. Good? Fantastic. All right. I've got a video that we just want to show you today. So sit back and enjoy this video.
Caring about someone or something more than yourself.
When you care for someone a lot.
Beyond actions, sometimes you can know that people love you, even if they don't, like, show it all the time.
Doing things for others without expecting anything in return.
When you care about something or someone a lot.
It makes you feel warm inside.
Just a way to show other people you care about them.
To different people, like you and a friend, or you and your spouse, or you and God, you know? Like, when you have a special connection between someone, you love them.
A thing of beauty.
The only thing I need to say to define love is just God or Jesus.
When you give up anything or you do anything for someone without feeling embarrassment or shame. Jesus.
Peace in the heart and, like, happiness with another person.
I guess something that's, like, never ending.
Love. Kind.
I did good.
You did great.
Love is cool.
Great.
It conquers a lot of things. It means a lot to me, especially with God, because just knowing how much he loves me, that he sent his son for me. So
happy.
Jesus.
Kind.
Love is all-knowing, I think.
Patient.
Never-ending.
A feeling of connection with someone.
Beautiful. Sweet.
Love's an open door.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
I love rock and roll.
It's called Next Thing You Know by Jordan Davis.
Oh, God's Not Dead.
Yes, I just don't know the title.
Love Story by Taylor Swift.
Love Story, Taylor Swift.
Love Story by Taylor Swift.
All You Need Is Love by the Beatles.
Not sure.
Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves You.
Jesus Loves Me.
No, I can't.
Tiana and Naveen from Princess and the Frog.
The Rapunzel and Flynn guy.
Aladdin and Jasmine.
Prince Eric and Ariel.
I really like Flynn Rider and I said Tangled, and Rapunzel.
Jasmine and Aladdin, I guess.
I have two. Beauty and the Beast. Zac Efron and Zendaya in The Greatest Showman.
Elsa and the one guy.
Cinderella.
Who's Kristoff and Anna?
Snow White and Prince Charming.
It's Ellie and I can't remember the guy's name from Up.
I was gonna say Belle and Beast.
Can you sing it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
No.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No, I gotta get the head, Jane. I gotta get the head, Jane. I gotta get the head, Jane.
That is Prince Charming, right? You gotta do good.
I have no idea.
Love's an open door.
I'm not a tenor, I'm sorry.
Can you tell the theme that we have going on?
No.
I'm gonna get hate on that from Lucas. I know I am.
I don't really like them, but I watch them. Movie nights with family, I guess.
Wait, is this gonna be shown on church on Wednesday? I mean Sunday.
Can you name a song that has the word love in it?
No.
That was a trap. Hold on. You're gonna edit this out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I already asked for forgiveness from Lindsay. She's promised not to be mad at me. Yeah. Well, let's just dismiss kids for Children's Church. Kids, meet your leader and go on back for Children's Church today. She might be mad at me still. Mm-hmm. I'll take it, Lindsay. I'll take it. Your brother would be more mad than anything else. We have some amazing teenagers, don't we? We certainly do. And even those, because I've been sitting on this for 2 weeks now. And so there, I think it was 2 weeks ago when we interviewed the adults. And then the next night we came back and we interviewed the teenagers. And I know that not all of our teenagers were present for that particular youth group evening. But that's the way it goes. We take what we can get. And not only that, but we have some great leaders as well that help out. Quick public service announcement. You have 5 days till get yourself ready for Valentine's Day. So, guys, ladies, do what you got to do. Today, we are continuing our series of What's Love Got to Do with It? And we have wrestled with what this question is, and really it's a good question. And really, some of the things that we do love include a variety of things. We talk about
people that we love, our shoes, our clothes, our cars, computers, cell phones, apps. We talk about apps that we love. Have you ever found yourself doing that? You should be talking about how much you love your Bible app, obviously. Blankets. I have a blanket that I absolutely love. Yes, I sit with the blanket when I'm at home because it's cold in our house sometimes. And I bought it in Guatemala, and there's no other blanket. It is as awesome as that one. We talk about our favorite versions of the Bibles. I know that some people talk about the flowers and the plants that they love, talk about the type of coffee and food that we love. We kind of talked about a little bit about that last week, because we talk about what we love all the time, and we utilize that word love a lot, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember that one of the things that I used to before I married Andrea, I was very hesitant to throw out the word love to other people. I like you a lot is what I often said. And then eventually it was like, I love you. And actually Andrea said it first. So, and she's not here, so I can verify that. But today I do want to take some time and talk about relationships. And I'm not doing that just because we're a couple of days out from Valentine's Day, but the reality is that relationships that we have matter. And so the way in which we approach our relationships really should matter and should be the way that we show our love. And we're going to be talking about human relationships today, okay? So this will probably be a little bit more of a practical sermon than it is anything else, okay? So sit back, relax, and don't fall asleep, but be aware that today is a little bit more practical when it comes to spouses, children, grandkids, but any of this can be applied to any relationship that you're a part of, because the common theme that streams throughout is love. And so that's the key of what we're going to be talking about. Now, I can't get into every aspect of every relationship, okay, that you might have. So don't hold that against me. Actually, if you're thinking about how you handle beyond family members, look back at last week's message, because last week we talked about the importance of loving our neighbor through the story of the Good Samaritan and the importance of loving those that we come into contact with, whoever they might be. So check that out. Today, we're going to begin with the marriage relationship. So if you do have your Bibles, you can open them up to Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. And we're going to pull back some thoughts on this particular passage of Scripture and a couple others. But first of all, let's read this passage, Genesis 2, 20 through 25. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. This is just after God introduced all the creatures of the world and everywhere to Adam, and he named them all, and God recognizes that there's no suitable helper for him. So in verse 21, it says, so the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man, just kidding, woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Couple of quick thoughts. First of all, I had a professor in seminary that's how he would read woman, and specifically in that passage, whoa, man. And I have never done that before, so I thought I would try it. whether or not it's successful or not, we'll find out later. A couple of thoughts, okay? A couple of thoughts about this particular passage. First of all, let's notice that the passage specifically talks about that it was from Adam's side that the rib was taken, and that's where God formed the woman out of. The symbolism here is powerful, and you've probably heard this in marriage ceremonies before and weddings and all that stuff, and that's good, and that's very good, because we know that it's not about the head that a man should rule over woman, or the feet that he should trample over her. But let's take this picture just for a second of the side and the side-by-side relationship that is indicated and symbolic in this passage, in this brief little word. And so it is a symbolism of walking together, working together, in it together, for one another, not against each other, but supporting one another, and in it for the long haul. So it's a side-by-side symbolism that matters a whole lot. Does it matter which side, right or left? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You might think differently, but the idea is side-by-side metaphor. That is, you are living life together and walking down the journey of life together. And so it's not about authority. It's not about anything else, but it is about a working together. Now, this might sound... sound wild that we think this way about relationships, but I don't think that's the way I don't think it's wild. I think it's actually very good for us to be thinking about the relationship where they complement each other and they work together. And I think that's a big picture. I think we see that evident in Scripture. The next is that there's this idea in verse 24 that says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. Some older versions of the Bible would say, and he cleaves to his wife. And we like to utilize this word of leave and cleave. So, and let's be really honest, I am speaking from the perspective that the marriage arrangement is one man, one woman. Not going to be shy about that. That is biblical, and so that is very important for us to recognize in this conversation, okay? The primary relationship that we're talking about here is that the husband and the wife leave their mother and father, meaning that the primary relationship is the spouse. Mom and dad should not be involving themselves in that relationship. I know that's hard, but it's important that the husband and the wife are the ones that are leaving their parents and joining their own relationship. And no one should be coming between that primary relationship. No one should be so important in your life that they take the place and your spouse feels left out. No one. Your spouse should be the primary relationship person in your life. That's very hard. I had a really good relationship with my mom and my dad. And I remember having to have a conversation with my mom and saying, Mom, I have fallen in love with someone else. And it's time for me to propose and talk to her. And I had that conversation with my mom. And we both cried. And it was beautiful, and my dad was in support of all that as well. But that was my symbolic gesture to mom and dad of saying, I'm leaving. I'm walking away from this family relationship to a new relationship that is going to be important. And so it's dynamic for you to be thinking this way. And there's a lot of other things that will crop up in your life and a lot of other people that will crop up in your life that will want to take that first position. Friends, work relationships, work itself, family members, other family members that will want to be the primary relationship in your life. Don't allow anything else to take that one spot. Make sense? Excellent. I didn't even give you an opportunity to respond. That's all. United. The next thing is that they are united together. It's not just about the physicalness of being united and in the marriage union, although that is very important because the Bible tells us that they were naked and unashamed, and that's woo. But the idea behind that is that the physicalness of the relationship is not just about the physical union, but it's also about the spiritual union. It's also about the emotional union. And so when you do come into this relationship, you should be focused on unity with one another and nothing else takes that place. Okay. I've already talked about the importance that this is man and woman. And if you would like to have a conversation about the modern day version of marriage and things like that, we can have that conversation. I am just going to stand on the point that it biblically man and woman, one woman united together in marriage. And that is the biblical perspective of all of this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 talks about an important passage of scripture that talks about love and respect. And I am going to just briefly touch on this. I could preach a couple of different sermons on this topic and on this idea. In fact, I have done it. If you want to look back at the archives to about 10 years ago, I think we did a sermon series that was specifically about love and respect. But here's the basics of it. Is it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. But the love that is being talked about here is the ultimate sacrificial love. This is a giving of all of yourself to your spouse. And that goes a long ways. That is where you would go to the dirt with anyone and anything in order to make sure that your spouse is well taken care of and is well supported and is not taken advantage of and not anything happening. Okay, that's the type of love, the sacrifice, give up everything for the sake of her. And that doesn't stop. Just because you said yes on that particular day June 13th, 1971, I think that's when my parents got married. Yep, I think so. Oddly enough, Andrea's parents got married the day before, and same year, two different states. One in Colorado, one in North Dakota, and then my parents got married the next day, same year and everything. It's wild. I get confused all the time. But anyways, neither here nor there. The point is that just because you said it once doesn't mean that that's what your attitude will be for the rest of your life, but that's where it should be, that your sacrificial love for that person should be so much so that you would give up anything and everything for the sake of that one person. And it should last. But we know that the divorce rate in our society is quite high. And part of the problem is the lack of focus and the lack of our importance on Christian relationships and marriages and focusing on God first and foremost. Let me talk about that for just a second. There's going to be a lot of relationships that you will have in your life. And the primary relationship should be between you and your spouse. But the very center of that relationship should be Jesus. And the closer that you and your spouse become, if you can think of a triangle, I should have put this on picture so you could see it. This is how Chopper works sometimes. I think it comes out. You can't see it because it's not visual. Anyways, think of a triangle. 2 points over here, husband, spouse, God at the top. The closer that you become to each other, the closer you become to God. So your pursuit of each other should draw you closer to God. But I like this other idea first, is that of a target. The center of the target is God. And then the next ring is you and your spouse. The ring after that is children, if there are any children. The ring after that is extended family. Because that one target should all point to Jesus. And if we're doing that well, everything else will follow suit. So that's the type of love that we're talking about. And wives, respect your husbands. This one goes a long ways. And I think, for just to give you an idea of why this matters, is because there's one thing that men universally desire, is to be respected. And if we receive that from the person that we love most, we can conquer the world, metaphorically, because we're not Napoleon. But the idea is that if we can have support from you, if the husband can have support from his spouse of true respect, they can do anything, and they will love you because of it. Okay. Now, before I move on to the next one, I want to talk about that passage that we've heard before that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And I'm going to talk about it in this way, of the difference between an NBD and a BBD. Let me explain. There is a not a big deal. That's the NBD, things that are not big deals. And then there are things that are very big deals, the VBD. Things that are not big deals are which way the toilet paper goes on the roll. Not a big deal. Although people do think that there is a specific way that it's done, I do think there is a right way. And my way is the right way, and your way might be the wrong way. But the idea is that's not a big deal. That's not something that we should be going to the dirt with, right? Okay, loading the dishwasher is not a big deal. As long as it all gets in there and it's not upside down, that collects water and all the grossness, right? Otherwise, the dishes still get clean. Can I get an amen on that? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Another thing that is not a big deal is moving the seat in the car. Okay. One of the benefits is that my wife is about my height. I admit it. She is taller than me, but that's okay. But the point is that she loves me so much that she does not move the seat. Or if she does, she puts it back. But the thing is that she's starting to drive like this now instead of like this. Don't tell her I said that. You guys will all be in trouble, and I will deny it. She is turning into a little grandma driving the car. I love her dearly. I'm holding you to it, so don't say a word, okay? But when she does move it, she puts it back. Is that a big deal? No. Do I want to fight with her about it? There was a time. But that's not a big deal. Other things that aren't big deals, okay, so guys get this really bad, stereotype. Guys get a really bad stereotype for not picking up after themselves with their clothes and things like that. It's like the hamper's over there, you toss it. Oh, yeah, that's close. Or the towel is like not hung up or whatever it might be. You know, if it's close and it's like surrounding the hole, we're not professional golfers, so getting it in the basket doesn't really count, right? No, so just, it's fine. But is that something to fight about? Yes, it's something to go to the dirt with, because that's what I hear that women want to do, is they want to go to the dirt because of that. But in reality, if you fling off a thing of clothes, your foot is not very good at aiming, so you just have to deal with it. I don't know. Not a big deal. Things that are a very big deal, communication. Finances. Communication about finances. Lying. Cheating. Distrust. Those are things that are a very big deal. We should be talking about those things. The idea is communication. Communication is one of the most important things you can have in a relationship. The world will tell you that the number one reason why people get divorced is because of finances or because of cheating or something along those lines. And I will disagree with them, because usually it comes right down to communication about finances, communication about your relationship, communication about your general everyday day-to-day type of things. And communication is absolutely vital and key. And if you're younger here this morning and you're hearing this and you're like, well, yeah, I want to talk to people. Well, no, when we get older, sometimes we don't feel like talking because we've had a long day and we don't want to tell you about everything that happened or whatever it might be. Or maybe you just need to stare at a blank wall for a while and then you forget to talk about the things. The issue is, care enough to have that conversation, to talk, whether it's washing the dishes together and not using the dishwasher. Guys, that's the way to do it. Avoid stacking the dishwasher wrong by going old school and washing the dishes by hand with your spouse right next to you. I kid you not. That was a beautiful thing in our early years of marriage, because we could sit there, do dishes, talk about what's going on, talk about life, talk about the work that we were doing, talk about what God was doing in our daily lives, and that was a marriage blessing. So stop loading the dishwasher. Say Pastor Chopper said so. So what's the difference between an NBD, a not big deal, and a very big deal? You might have to figure that out. But once you do, you'll be equipped. Once you do, you won't fight over the little things. And you'll learn to fight fairly about the big things. That's probably the second thought in this, is that learn to fight fair. And words that you should probably never use is "you always" or "you never." Did you see my hand when I did that? You always, you never. I pointed. That's what we do when we use that type of language, is that we point and we blame. You never. That's not good communication. What is I would love to talk about this. Because I feel as if this is what happens. And if we talk in that manner, we will be able to handle any conversation. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, my spouse and I, we never fight. Yeah, right. Every good marriage experiences fights. But your definition of a fight and a conversation is relative. But that's okay. But the Bible tells us to not let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Well, the end of a day ends as the sun goes down. The start of the day begins at sundown. You travel from one day to the next with an issue. That issue has potential to compound. So take care of the issue. Talk about it before the sun goes down. Talk about the situation. Talk about the issue. And if you can't come to a resolution before the sun goes down, maybe we'll extend it before you lay your head down. Then maybe it's time to talk to somebody else about it. And be honest with you, I would love to. If I'm not the right person, there are people in the church right here sitting near you that would love to talk with you as well. Or there are counseling options for you as well. All right, let's turn to the family. I am not even halfway through yet. I've just been going at it. All right, you guys are in trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, one of my favorite passages of all scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Excuse me, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Verse 7 says the word impress. This is a word that has been burning in my brain all week long. This word has been boggling my mind, and I have thought about it and thought about it. And the only thing that I can really talk to you about what it means is by giving you the Cambridge definition of it. Ready? It means to cause someone to admire or respect you. That's a pretty good definition. I like that. Did you know that there was a way that people would kind of forcefully make people join the Navy or the military way back when? And it was called impressing. They impressed people to join the military. They forcefully said, you're going with me and we're joining the Navy. We're getting on and we're going to be there. They were supposed to be in the military, but they probably did this in the pirates as well. The Pirates of the Caribbean forced people to join the pirate guild. I don't know. Anyways, impressing was by forcing. This is less of a forcing, but it is as well. So let's talk about what Deuteronomy 6 is telling us. And here's some thoughts on it, is that this is God talking to the people of Israel, and they're reminding them, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We've talked about this, and if you want to go back and listen to a whole sermon series on this, you have to go back a couple of years, but it might be well worth your time. God is saying, these are commandments that I have for you. These things that I'm going to say next to you are commandments. Take them seriously and put them into your life. And this is exactly really good for families and for families that have kids and for families that have grandkids as well. So we're going to get some family dynamics and some children dynamics and then also some grandkids. So grandparents, listen up. First couple of thoughts is this, is about impressing, is don't hide your faith at home. We call this thing that we do with Jesus as a personal faith. And I think that we have ruined that terminology, because what that means to many of us is that it's a personal faith. And so I take everything that is all of my faith that I have in God, and I'm going to personalize it, and I'm not going to let anybody else see my relationship with God. And it's going to be in this little box and probably in my heart, because that's where we say that we do all that stuff. And so I'm just going to leave it all right here, and I'm not going to let my relationship with God live outside of this tiny little thing that beats in my chest. I think that's probably what has hurt us the most, because while it is a personal faith, because I make a personal decision to follow Jesus with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, but in those same veins, this is anything but a personal relationship with God, right? No? It's just personal, and I should leave it that way and just... No, don't step outside of that box, because if I step outside of the box with my Christian on, I'll get in trouble. This is the best thing in our lives. This is not a private relationship. This is a lived relationship with Jesus. And everybody in your home should know it. Not just in your home. Everybody, every relationship that you should have and do have should be impacted by your relationship with Jesus. Your faith is not private. Let me say it again. Your faith is not private. It is to be seen. It is to be evidenced. It is to not be obnoxious, probably not overbearing, probably not shallow, so that you can actually talk about your relationship with Jesus and what you believe, but do not hide it at home. And I was very good at that when I was younger. Probably still have a tendency to do that every now and then, where my faith sometimes just doesn't live out loud. But if my love for Jesus is truly a part of who I am, shouldn't every aspect of my life be impacted by it? So don't hide your faith at home. Moms and dads, do not hide your faith at home. Do not let your children make decisions that are going to impact their lives spiritually by letting them do what they want to. Oh, I just said something that's very controversial. You know why? Because we live in a world that says, oh, you know what? If my kids want to do it when they get older, they can do it. They can make that decision. No, my kids don't have an option. They are going to experience the world of a faith journey. And we want to give them that opportunity. And I want them to see me and my relationship, because I know men, that if I have a relationship with Jesus, there's a greater chance that my kids will have a relationship with Jesus. Moms, fight your battles on your knees. Show them how much you love Jesus. Okay, talk about your faith and beliefs. Okay, I'm really good at being a lecturer, as you can tell. They do it almost weekly. And when I talk with my kids, especially when they were younger, they'd be like, oh, Dad is preaching again. It's not Sunday, Dad. But talk about the things of God with your family. And if you're not comfortable with it, get over it. Ooh, man, you guys are not going to like me by the time today ends. But talk about your faith with God. Talk about what God is teaching you. If you read a devotional, at some point in time, talk with your kids about what you're reading. What are you going to talk about with at the dinner table? Talk about Jesus. Talk about what you read. Talk about what you heard. Talk about the sermon every Sunday at church or at lunch. Sorry, I'm shamelessly today. Ask open questions, open-ended questions about what your kids are hearing and learning. When they come home from church every Sunday, hey, what'd you do in children's church? When they went to Hope Kids on Wednesday nights, hopefully they're going to Hope Kids, and you ask them, what did you talk about? How crazy was Pastor Chopper and Andrea with the older kids? We're wild, but ask them to share with you what's going on. Why? Because they want to be invested in and they want to share with you what's going on. Next thought is just show and exhibit your faith. Make your faith plain. Don't complicate it. You're not writing a dissertation when it comes to your faith. You're not getting a doctorate in your faith. Talk plainly about what you love about God and how amazing he is and how you're growing your relationship. And grandparents, you might be thinking, well, I can tune Pastor Chopper out right now. No, you get an opportunity to talk to your grandkids about these exact same things because it's your home. It's your investment. It's an opportunity for you to invest and do all of that. Okay. Parents, as your kids get older, Don't stop letting your faith be exhibited. Actually, I've found that the older the kids get, the easier it is to share faith things with them, because life doesn't get any easier. Both of my kids are in college. And I did something the other day that I haven't done in a long time. I text them all the time, but I texted them specifically about, hey, I read this passage of scripture. It was a good devotional. That was it. I got back later, 5 hours later, and I figured out both of them read it. And we're like, wow, that was really good too. It was simple. This is what I read. I didn't ask for anything else. I didn't even say read it. Just, hey, just lobbing a softball out there to them and letting them hit it if they want to. But things like that help, because it means that you're investing your relationship with God. And when your family sees you do it, they might join in with you. So let's talk about a couple of thoughts on this one. Parenting is a journey. And parenting is for a season, but being a parent is for a lifetime. And you're journeying from a whole lot of control to just a little bit of influence as they get older. So when your children are younger, you get to control every aspect. But as they age, your control loses a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and all you have left is influence. So influence those things wisely. Make that influence matter as they get older. And eventually, all you will have left is influence. You're raising kids to be fully functioning adults someday. You're not raising them to be fully dependent on you. But you're raising them to be fully functioning adults. So help them along the way. Give them the right things to be thinking about. Grandparents. Ooh, we're almost done. Grandparents, you've heard maybe about a letter called 1 and 2 Timothy. And in this letter, Paul reminds Timothy of his heritage, that of his mother and grandmother. And I absolutely love that, because Paul knows that his mom and his grandma had a huge influence on his life. So grandparents, you have an opportunity to be influential in your grandkids' life. And let me give you two ways. I could go on about some others, but the first one is go to war for your grandkids and your kids through prayer. Pray for them. They are enduring a whole lot of junk, and they need to know that they have someone that's in their corner fighting for them. They need to know that somebody's put on the gloves and they are ready to go to war for them. So grandparents, go to war. Put the gloves on. Get your knees ready. Get down on your knees and go to war. You might not be able to do anything else except pray. So take it serious and pray. I have amazing parents and I have amazing in-laws. And they are investing in my kids by praying for them. They text them regularly, both sets. And we didn't ask for it. We welcome it, but both sets of my parents and Andrea's parents text our kids consistently, how can we pray for you? That rocks my world, because I know I have some advocates that love them deeply and are praying. And my kids are a long ways away from their grandparents. And some of you have grandparents that live a long way. Some of you grandparents live a long way from your grandkids. So put the gloves on. Go to work. Second thought is this. And I'm not sure how to unpack it all yet. I'm still figuring this out. probably because I'm not a grandparent yet. Praise the Lord. But put out the welcome mat and keep your mouth shut. Welcome your family home. But don't nitpick on them. Don't try to control them. Don't try to do what X, Y, and Z. Just welcome them and love them and let them know that you do love them. I did Lee and Carrie's dad's funeral this week on Friday. And I heard from the family that the one thing that they heard consistently from dad and grandpa and husband and all of that was he always hugged and whispered, "I love you." That goes a long ways. It goes a long ways. Last thought is this for kids, teenagers, children. As you age, as you get older, you're going to want to have independence. You're going to want to do things your own way. But in Ephesians 6, it talks about honoring your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. While you are wanting to do your own thing, still remember that you live at home. Still remember that you are under their roof. And that your job is to still be obedient to them, even as they get older, as you get older. But always remember that eventually their role turns from control to influence. And you need them in your corner. So honor them, love them, and when the time is right, you will be released into the world. But in the meantime, honor and love. Okay, I've talked a ton. We're going to close with brief prayer and close our last song. Okay, let's pray. Father, your grace is sufficient and your love for us is overwhelming. And God, as we think about relationships, we sometimes need reminders of what to do and how to do it. And I realize, Lord, that probably today nothing was brand new news or brand new knowledge, but it's all things that we might have heard at one point in time or something along those lines. But Lord, we sometimes need to be reminded on these things. Because when we show the love that we have learned from you and we give it to others, we're learning to love well. And we thank you for that. Be with us this day, Father. Thank you for your love for us. And be with us the rest of this day, this week. And we can't wait to come back next week to worship you together. We love you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much. Let's stand and let's close out our time together with singing.